Welcome back to Money Mania, where we're talking tax season and what to do with that refund. If you really want your tax refund to have a positive impact, I'm bullish on Ohio's 529 plan. I always say, invest in something you love. Well, there's nothing we love more than our kids. So invest in their future and let your tax refund help. For as little as $25, you can get started today at collegeadvantage.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
All right, welcome to On My Block Championship Preview. I'm your host, Mike Wall. Thanks. Oh, here he is.
Yeah.
Man, the myth, the legend. There he is. Amon Green on What's air. Up? Amon, we just got breaking news as you step in here. Good to see you. I'm up and down on those glasses. We'll talk about those later. But as you step in right now, the NFC, the Carolina Panthers just announced that they're not going to go with interim head coach Steve Wilks. They're going to go with Frank Reich, who, just to remind everybody, Frank Reich is the guy that just got fired four months ago for Jeff Saturday with the Indianapolis Colts. So to put the timeline on it, Frank Reich was Carson Wentz's kind of quarterback guru when he was successful in Philly. Yep. They won a Super Bowl. He got the job in Indianapolis. He went through Philip Rivers, brought in Carson Wentz, did not work out a second time. Brought in Matt Ryan, did not work out at a second team.
Nope.
It got fired, and now within 4 months, now we can talk about the Rooney Rule. We can talk about bringing in young talent. I'll go wherever direction you want to go. But within 4 months, a guy who did not have success at his last franchise and got fired, just took one of the, in my opinion, the most coveted job of the offseason, because of the talent they have on defense, because of the money the owner's willing to spend, because they're building a new stadium. They have draft picks. They got a ton. I think they got some picks for additional picks for Hassan Reddick.
Right.
And they're really missing a quarterback, but this is a quarterback rich draft. They have good draft capital. They could do a trade. There's a lot of things going on. Like I can't even say it any other way. I'm shocked that they drafted him. I think there should be a 2-year moratorium on head coaches getting more head coaching jobs within 2 seasons. Because to me, it's like give somebody else a chance.
Yep.
Tell me what you think about this.
Oh man, I'm right along with you. They're bluffing the Rooney Rule. They're bluffing all type of rules. And just like you said, I say the biggest thing for me is giving other coaches a chance, because we know there's coaches that are DCs and OCs that really should and want to. The only question is if they want to be the head guy, because we know it's a different situation. You got a set of rules and responsibilities that you don't have being a DC or OC. You know, you're just really focused on defense and scheming and game planning and getting players ready to play in what you want to do offensively or defensively. But then as a head guy, we know it's everything. You're a counselor. You're managing players and coaches, and you're talking to the owners. You're talking to the GM. You're
a director. You're a director. Right.
So, a little bit surprising.
Everybody in that building, I'm a Panther. Like, I'm a Panther. Everybody in that building wanted Steve Wilks. coaches, right. players. I mean, I just don't get it. Like, I just don't understand where these guys, and it's not like I'm not anti-Frank Reich. Like, this could have literally been anybody who just got fired. I just can't fathom and he seems to be, by all accounts, a very smart coach, but maybe he's not a head coach, but I can't fathom how you go into a scenario where you have 2.5 years of tryouts with the Indianapolis Colts and you get fired and 4 months later, you're the first hire in this coaching cycle. And like, again, I have nothing against Frank Reich.
Right.
He might be a fantastic coach. I just don't understand this.
I believe, like, with owners and GMs, and particularly, well, they're both talking together, obviously, having a conversation early in the season, because this was midseason when he got fired, till now, maybe had conversations with his representation, you know, whoever represents Frank Reich, and makes it shortens the process, they feel like. I mean, from now on, as I'm thinking more, I'm like, because then you don't have to use your whole offseason to look for a coach or part of your offseason that's already started for a lot of teams. You don't have to use that percentage. You could probably get the head guy in early and then start working on draft, because we know right after in 3 weeks we're focusing on NFL draft picks and then after that free agency. So, I mean, it's just a head shaker. It's like the rules mean nothing out there. And now it's just for the NFL to be like, execute type of discipline because of rules being broken. And I'm like, that's what I would want to see as a player. Like, you know what? Take away continued draft picks.
So let's be clear on this. Like, what do you mean by that? Because, like, technically they had they interviewed 9 head coaches for this search.
Okay. See, I didn't know that.
They interviewed 9 head coaches and these guys made this. I think Shane O might have made the second round, but it was those 3. And then they ended up with – and look, Wilkes was the head coach in Arizona, got jobbed over the Cliff Kingsbury thing. Yep. Like, so we all kind of know how that worked out. And some of these guys, like, some fits are better than other fits. And, again, like, I'm a Panthers fan. Like, James Campen's there. Jeff Nixon's there, who's a great running back coach. Like, I'm a fan of those guys. I want them to do well. They have a great team. They have a great fan base. And I don't think – I think he will do well. I just don't I don't understand it. Because then you go to any coach – who's aspiring to be a head coach that is a man of color.
Right.
And you have to, I will say, anytime you get in front of the decision maker, it is a good thing. You can, Amon Green, if you get in front of the decision makers for the Carolina Panthers, that is a good thing for you personally, because you are going to leave an impression and you might be making a longer term play. It might not be this cycle, but you are like, that is a net, the Rooney Rule in that respect is a good thing.
Yeah.
But the timeline for success is not what we want it to be. We it's going to be a generation, and we want it to be like, wait a second, dude, the next guy should be a person of color,
right?
Because that's what feels right.
Right, it feels right, and it just be like, just give somebody another chance. You know, Frank already had several chances, and he's basically on his that coaching side of it is on life support. And they just gave it life again when it's like, wait a minute, you got all these other candidates. You got one already in-house in terms of Wilkes. And the players already have his respect and all the other coaches' respect that he's already built through the firing of Matt Rhule. So from that standpoint right there, it's easy to see. I would say it would have been easier for them to say, hey, we're going to keep Wilkes. Because then now they could build, because you hear coaches say all the time, and you know this, you want this. You want to build off good stuff. From a year to a game to bat, you know, from a great practice to a great practice to a great season to a great season. You build that stuff, and this doesn't quite do that. This kind of brings another, like, a bad taste in the back of everybody's throat because of the situation the team was in, and you had a chance to right the ship and say, hey, you know what, Steve Wilkes is going to be the guy. Just let it roll, and you have, like you said, players already there, coaches already there. Everything's been normal for already a half a season. Now you got the whole offseason to grow together and then draft picks and free agency to do that. And they have the talent there, as you mentioned already.
Yeah.
So it's an opportunity miss for the Carolina organization as a whole.
Yeah. The thing is, you don't know how the next guy's going to go. He obviously interviews well. Like, he's an ex-player. Like, I really don't want this to come off as, and it's not his fault, is the other thing.
Correct.
It's and you see the quarterbacks guy, and they have Sam Darnold. Maybe they get a new guy. Like they're looking. Like I can connect the dots. But it's just there's just so many questions. For example, your quarterbacks coach, Sean Ryan, are you going to get a new one? Ben McAdoo is your offensive coordinator. You know, Steve. I'm talking to Steve Wilkes now, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, are you willing to depart? Like, really? You probably have two guys on offense that are going to remain on your staff. Are you willing to get rid of everybody else? Maybe three. Yeah. At the key position, you know. So, we weren't part of those. It's just that hits weird. So here's the other one that hits weird, but it kind of makes sense. Nathaniel Hackett gets fired. Yeah. Arguably, I don't know. Is he the most unsuccessful first time head coach in the last two decades? I mean, I can't remember a guy getting fired. Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is like a generally bad human.
Yeah.
But like as far as like just performance, this was really bad. And I think a lot of it was Russell Wilson. Like, I don't think that Nathaniel Hackett forgot how to coach football. I think that Russell Wilson was just awful this year.
Yeah.
But he goes to the Jets. He gets the offensive coordinator job for the Jets. There's obviously a link to Aaron now because there's talk that Aaron might go to the Jets. Now Hackett's there.
Right.
That owner has said flat out, I'll give up multiple draft picks for Aaron Rodgers.
Who wouldn't?
Do you give up multiple? Okay. So here's the question.
Right.
Do you really think that Aaron Rodgers thrives in New York City in that media market?
Oh, that and from that standpoint, oh, he'll get destroyed. Like the media,
it would
media
be tough,
there,
right?
Yeah, it'll be tough for him. It's not the Green Bay media. It's not the Midwest media. This is East Coast, cutthroat. They make people from Wall Street jump off buildings. Okay, from back in the day. So it's gonna be a way tough market. He can't pull and say some of the things that he has said in previous interviews. Being in the Midwest, being a Packer, it's gonna be a different battlefield out there. Going back and forth with media because those guys and ladies are ruthless.
We're not saying that. Well, I mean, I think Eric can handle it, but it's definitely, it's like, you're swimming with the sharks there.
Yeah. It's going to be a little different. That's all I'm saying today.
Yeah. I agree. I think the natural bridge that you cross here is that Nathaniel Hackett said it was implied. I think to a lot of people in the country, NFL insiders, media guys like you and me, It was implied that when Nathaniel Hackett got the job in Denver, that Aaron was probably going to Denver.
Yeah, okay? So we don't really know that then, you know.
So we didn't know. So then Russell Wilson shows up. But now he gets the job in a place where they've already identified as a place where Aaron Rodgers could land. They have draft capital to spare. And you go, okay, so now has he gotten a second job with the idea that Aaron might show up?
And I would say part of that, yes. 100% part of that. And then the other part would be obviously, hopefully he's experienced. He does have some coaching years other than last year. Last year, right now, is still, you know, considered an anomaly. We'll see. You know, if it's something that is going to be the same thing happened in Jets in New York, then we'll know. Wait a minute, this is a problem now, not just a 1 year blip of having a bad year of coaching because everybody has one or maybe two bad years. But consecutive years, then that draws the question, like, wait a minute now, you're missing something here. You got to go back and find something in your coaching development or how you prepare yourself to be a coach, to coach players, to coach a scheme, and get those players ready to play in that scheme. Something's missing. So if it's two consecutive years with another different team that has amazing talent in New York in terms of the offensive weapons they have, once Reese Hall comes back from his ACL, you have the one receiver, was at Tennessee, but it came in from Tennessee to the Jets. So you got talent. Davis, that's what Corey Davis. Mm-hmm. You got talent. You got players.
You got a defense, too. Yep.
You got a defense. So if you go there and somehow fumble the ball there, then it's an issue. But if something – he could take that talent along with the leadership of Robert Saleh, as we know is a great coach in terms of leadership and motivation and a defensive-minded coach. You handle the offense. I handle the defense. Then boom, you know, I could see that where it could fit and marry very well.
Yeah, it's important to remember that he's not going to be the head coach here. He is going to be the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Are you bringing it? I always, every time, and listen, he had success outside Aaron Rodgers. Like he was down in Carolina, took Blake Bortles.
Correct.
He was part of that, you know, so it's like Nathaniel Hackett can coach football. Okay. I don't think that's what we're saying. But if the implication is that they might get Aaron, because otherwise they have Mike White and Zach Wilson. And Mike White showed out a little bit, but like Zach Wilson has caused this. Like you don't know what they're thinking. If you told anybody on the street, yeah, we're bringing in Aaron, they go, okay. I just don't understand this part. And you explain this to me.
Okay.
What makes sense about trading Aaron Rodgers if you're Matt LaFleur or Goody? What I still don't understand what makes, unless he comes to you and says, I'm not playing for this team anymore, I'll just retire, and you'd have to get draft capital. I don't understand what else make that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
No, that's the only part that makes sense. If he says that, that's it. Okay. I'm still trying to figure out what and why would it make sense to do that. And other than him wanting out and saying, hey, I want to go free agency, or I'm going to retire, then yeah. But outside of that, there is no rhyme or reason. Same like I just mentioned with Nathaniel Hackett being a head coach. Right? Aaron had a bad year. You know, everybody is accounted that, especially a guy of his stature, his performance through his years on that football field. 1 year is not going to make his career. You know, so that's right now is you're looking towards the draft. You're working out your draft picks right now and getting ready for free agency with what capital you have to get out there. You know, a late second week, third week free agent coming in from somewhere in a position that you need help in. You know, maybe somewhere on the offensive line or somewhere on defense, or maybe another wide receiver just to have some inventory.
Is Matt LaFleur on the hot seat?
My opinion, a little bit. You've been here 3 years. You've been 2 years to the NFC Championship game, and now a year where it just like the wheels fell off, literally. But you finished strong. So it's a little warm. I say it's warm. Mm-hmm. It's not scolding, but it's warm, you know, because of this year. I say the way the year ended, it would have been hot. But since the way the year ended, where it was players playing like they had the pride, like they had the coaching, like they had the discipline, got like Nixon, you know, special teams doing his job, A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones doing their job. They were consistently there all year. So their coach, Sermons, great job. So you have the players, you have some of the coaches that understand what needs to get done, and they figured it out a little bit too late, but it still was a good end to the season. So I say it's warm, not lukewarm, but warm.
The fact that he says there's not going to be any changes on his coaching staff, you know, a lot of people are still kind of scratching their head with Joe Barry.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's deserved or not. I mean, listen, you can review and not say that, you know, you can retain coaches. Coaches learn just like everybody else. So you can retain coaches and he can have a better year next year. His track record suggests that he won't. Matt LaFleur's track record suggests so far that the same issues will arise next year. Now, he says he's going to do a top to bottom, clean, you know, really detailed overhaul evaluation of everything that they've done on film. And but then you say that, and literally in the same press conference, you say everybody's job safe. So, like, for me, here's where Matt LaFleur's job gets the hot seat gets hot and goody if they trade Aaron Rodgers.
Oh yes,
and they're thinking in their mind. Here's what they're thinking. Yes. If we trade Aaron Rodgers, we get a hit reset because now everybody knows that the expectations change because we don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback, right? Mm. I say, and I could be wrong, because I know that'll be the narrative on half the country will say, well, they don't have Aaron Rodgers anymore. The other half of the country is going to go, yeah, they got rid of him, right? And that's my half is you have a window that if you went all in, a la Sean McVay with the LA Rams, if you went all in this year and said, we are going to pick up the pieces that we need to be successful. We're going to pick up a five-tool tight end. We're going to pick up a second outside linebacker. We're going to pick up a hard-hitting safety, right? We're going to add these pieces. We're going to add development into our schedule so we're a little bit better from a technical standpoint. We're going to do all this stuff, take all our resources, trade our draft capital. We're going to go whole hog, all in. Next 2 years, two-year winner for Aaron Rodgers. That's how I think he's actually safe. And then just say, you know what? After that, we got our Super Bowl. Cheers, my ring. That ring gives me three free years. But right now, you're looking at, you have 4 years. The last one was a losing season. And now you might not have your quarterback. And people, like, you expect that you're going to get some kind of leeway. Like, I don't see it. I just don't see it though. I think that doesn't make, that makes less than zero sense to me. Like, I would never, if I was a coach and a competitor, I'd be like, dude, let's just go for it right now. Like, Goody, we have young players. If you believe, again, if you believe you can develop talent, this shouldn't even be a conversation.
Correct. And that is the number one thing. So back to, you know, to the coaches thing, making sure you're sitting down with these coaches in one breath, like you said, you're evaluating everybody hardly, but then the next breath you're saying everybody's job safe, then that contradicting yourself right there. So you have to do the first, You have to evaluate every coach. How did you, you know, look at how they develop players, how they coach the players up at every position, and say to yourself and say to that coach face to face, did your position, let's rank your position from all the positions out here on the football field. How did they do? You know, if it's a defensive player, tackling, let's do fundamentals, tackling, play recognition, and formation recognition. Let's see how they react. You know, linebackers, D-line, you know, safeties or DBs, excuse me. You know, how these players, running backs, why you go through every position coach and do that, because obviously that as a coach, I would want that, because it's like, okay, you're holding me to accountable for making my plays better, my players better every year, no matter the circumstance, no matter if I got a guy, you know, somebody's out for a year and then I got to deal with guys from practice squad now, but I make those players better, you know, regardless of where they're at in the lineup. So it's just, you got to do that. When I was here at the University of Nebraska, Tom Osborne, he did that every single year, regardless of our season. We had great seasons, but you got to think about it. We had those great seasons. Why? Because he even had coaches, the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, Charlie McBride, who is a tough but fair guy. He would evaluate Coach Tom Osborne and tell him where he messed up, where his strengths were, where his weaknesses were, to get better for the previous year. So when you have a coach like Tom that say, now you could pick at me too, I'm not just going to pick at you either, I'm going to make sure this is fair. That is reason why that at that time for us, college football, we play games and we were number one, because those coaches held each other accountable.
Yeah.
And then it's for every position that we played, we were coached hard, played hard, and that was the one reason why, because the coaches did it first. And when leadership goes downhill.
I teach a perpetual supremacy coaching masterclass. And one of the things we go through is coach development is an entire day, right? Because yeah. I think it's the most underutilized kind of weapon that these guys have in their tool belt. And part of that is I know that staffs meet obviously afterwards and they do evals and they do self-scout and they do all, but if you're not meeting directly, you know, if you're head coach and you're not meeting directly with each guy, mm-hmm. and you're doing an assessment for them and you're making them self-assess and you're making them create clips and you're making them show how, for example, here's a technique that I taught, here's how we implemented it in the classroom, here's how we implemented it in practice, and here's how it manifested on game day. Like, right. If you're not having your guys like create those clips and create that data and create that information set, you're doing them a real disservice.
Yes.
And that happens at the high school level, but we see it happens at the NFL level too. It's probably just as blatant, and it's just a lack of it's awareness, I think, because you're worried about so many other things. So let's hope that they're, from the Packers standpoint, who knows what Aaron's going to do. I don't know if we even care. But if they decide to trade him right now, like, you hit that button, that red button's going off, man. You have 1 year, maybe a year and a half to turn this thing around. Otherwise, Minnesota wins this division next year again, or Detroit comes up. Man, people are going to be looking for new jobs, guaranteed. But
toss of the coin between Detroit and Minnesota.
Let's hit this championship weekend preview, man. So last weekend,
some good football.
We had some great games. It lines up for the Eagles are 2.5 favorites in San Francisco, and then we got a pick 'em game now between Cincinnati and Kansas City. Pick 'em, meaning that Patrick Mahomes had put them as a 3-point favorite. Then they went to a 1.5-point underdog, and now because he's practicing today and yesterday, now it's just a pick 'em game. I think they're both pick 'em games, but Aman, going into a big game weekend. Now, this could be the championship weekend. If you will remember back from like your college football play or your college football days, what are players thinking about primarily going into a game of this magnitude?
Oh, man, it should be real easy. Go out there and just play football. Go with the game plan. The head coach, the OC plans out, and make sure you know your position from the top to the bottom. And by now you should, because it's the 20th game or the 20th week of the regular season. So all that should just be more like fine tuning that information, getting well rested, dealing with, if you got stuff going on, you know, I say personally, you got to put that to the side for a second and then focus on this game. And so where you go into this game, where you kind of let it go, because you already know what you got to do fundamentally, the basics, to then plan the game that you can play. I say the reason why I was able to do a lot of what I did is when I went into a game, so even starting as a young kid, playing in championship games, I played in Little League Baseball championship games, I played in Little League Football championship games, and my mindset was always wide open. I'm going to react to whatever's in front of me, good or bad. And I'm going to do my job and I'm going to have a little fun doing it because this is a job that I love to do. It's football. Do that. And so my mindset was always that. I never thought about, I just lived in the moment and make sure I knew my job in that moment. Not look at, oh man, if I do this, you know, we lose this game and did it. No, I wasn't thinking about none of that. Win or lose, I'm thinking about that. Every play is a different moment that I got to succeed in. And let's go out there and win and do that. And that was, so that's one player. And that was me as a player. But you got other players sometimes, their brain just kind of, it goes, you know, they're like thinking too far ahead. And then, you know, that's where they lead to the mistakes and them not leaving up to the moment, not leaving up to the challenge of the championship game. So you got a couple of those players in those situations thinking those type of mindsets, but you want obviously majority of the mindset of guys living in that moment, but they're doing their job to 100%.
Yeah, staying present is the most important thing you can do, certainly, and having that confidence to be able to stay present in that moment. Yeah. As the games get bigger, obviously, you know, nothing changes about football, and everybody thinks – here's one of the biggest misnomers – we talked about this before is people are going to be more intense in, like, the NFC Championship than they were, like, the first round of the playoffs. Or
right.
Like, that's just – that could – that if you're a good player, that's not true.
No.
And if you're a good player playing against a bad player who's suddenly playing a little bit harder, like, it really doesn't matter to you. So, like, all of that stuff, I always just kind of thought, man, that doesn't make any sense. Maybe guys are trying to protect themselves in the preseason, but when you get to this kind of type of the season, everyone's playing hard.
Letting it fly, man.
I think, you know, your preparation, you just have to, in these situations as an athlete, you have to fall back on what got you there. So, your routines couldn't – it. Nothing could be more important right now than you sticking to the same routine that you had because there's going to be – more media obligations. There's going to be more family obligations. There's going to be ticket obligations, all these things. So it's like,
and more rest. You sometimes in this situation, you got more time on your hands in the rest department too. You got a little bit of everything going on that accustomed to the regular season you didn't have. And so that's another aspect you could add in there too.
Yeah. And so all of this stuff, are you able to compartmentalize the things that are like, we just call, you know, external, detractors.
Yeah.
Are you able to compartmentalize those, move them away, and just stay focused on what you're, you know, just make sure, hey, if this is the way that I need to walk up my practice field on Saturday feeling like I've done everything possible to put myself in a situation to be successful. Mm-hmm. Have I ticked all those boxes that I always tick? If the answer is yes, you're going to go out there and play free, play in the moment, play present. If the answer is no, then you're scrambling like, oh man, I'm so stressed out on the meal on Saturday night. Everyone's like, hey, AG, what's wrong? Right. It's like, well, you know, my aunt came in with 25 tickets, you know, requests, and I had to meet them in the lobby, and they want to take photos, and they brought their neighbors. You know, I mean, we've seen this stuff happen. It's like it is ridiculous.
Real. So
I hope guys are just out there enjoying the moment, living in the moment. And these guys are so much more media aware and savvy and brand aware that I think a lot of this stuff they just take it as commonplace, anyways.
True.
But you know.
Gotta be careful.
Making sure, you gotta be careful making sure your routines are on point. So let's go with this, man. Let's talk about the NFC Championship first. So Eagles 49ers. Look, I've been just riding the 49ers for the last couple of weeks. I just love, I did a whole breakdown on them last week, and we talked about them at the beginning of this, the review show from last weekend. Their offense and the way that they use Kittle and Juszczyk, the way they use Ayuk and Debo and obviously CMC. The way that they kind of weaponize Trent Williams in a way that, like, you know, all the rest of their offensive line is just kind of average, but Trent Williams is so unique, the things that he's able to do. Having said all that, right, they do have Brock Purdy. He's been playing well. He's a third stringer. He's the last pick in the draft in 2022. If you look at the Philadelphia Eagles offensively, defensively, they're, to me, as great as San Francisco's defense is, if I look at this team top to bottom, like, the Philadelphia Eagles are a better football team. They're a better football team for a number of reasons, particularly on offense. But, like, what do you see from an Eagles side offensively that they're just doing better than everybody else?
I'll say right now it's between their defense consistently playing. They've been there the whole year. They've had, you know, what they lost, what, three times? So those three times was more catered to just maybe a play here or there, just one or two plays that made a difference in those games. Mm-hmm. And then offensively, between Jalen, doesn't matter if he's healthy or not, his legs are still working. Because you saw last week how
he's healthy too. His shoulder's fine. He
threw rocks. Regardless of people, like I said, but people still talking about it, you know. Mm-hmm. Regardless of the shoulder, his legs work fine. And then with, I mean, even with the shoulder, you know, some, he had a deep pass in the first quarter of last week's game. Mm-hmm. I think it's Devontae Smith on the money. Mm-hmm. So he was probably just protecting it just for a little bit of insurance. This is not the game to get. If I can avoid a hit, don't get hit in this game, if anything. Save it for NFC, save it for Super Bowl games where I want to get physical, if I want to fight for the extra yard. And then you have Boston Scott and you have the other kid, Gainwell, in the backfield. And you got a nice little trio. There's one more back. It's a trio of backs that get the ball downfield. That offensive line.
Miles Sanders, you mean?
Yeah, Miles Sanders. That led by Kelce, they make it an issue when the run game. And they're savvy, they're smart, and they're aggressive like linemen should be. They're smart. They you could tell they already know where they want to go with the ball. And so pre-snap, you know, run or pass, they would create issues because of with the lever. And then A.J. Brown is basically a running back being with wide receiver talent and speed and want to. You know, he's a guy that's built. He's probably like 220. Easy 6 foot, 6'2". And for him to jump up for a ball and then at yards after contact, all that stuff. So those players, great job of them bringing A.J. from Tennessee in the offseason going in. And then Jalen Soriani getting together in training camp and coaching him and whoever their quarterback coach is, getting him ready to play and lead this team.
Brian Johnson.
We heard all through the offseason is, you know, just Jalen Hurts. He's still young. We don't know about him. This is going to be the end of the Philly. Or this is going, if anybody's going to be the bad point, it's going to be Jalen Hurts. That was the kind of the offseason conversation about Jalen Hurts. And now we're looking at him and outside of myself, I know myself for sure. It was like, wait a minute, wait till the season. We don't know what this kid's going to do. We saw what he did at Alabama. We saw what he did at Oklahoma. He's a gamer. He plays. He can adjust. And we saw that. We saw that same type of athlete come out in a Philly uniform this season for them. So those have been the factors. I say that's why they're different than a lot of NFC teams and them having themselves in the NFC championship game right now.
They have the best offensive line in football. They have two first-team All-Pros. Every one of them could have been a Pro Bowler. Mm-hmm. Dallas Goedert is a Pro Bowl caliber tight end. He's probably the best athlete on the team. Nice. They have Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, like you mentioned. Jalen Hurts is playing at a really, really high clip. He, you know, he's probably 1-1A for MVP if he doesn't get hurt with Patrick Mahomes. They threaten leverage on defenses, and they put people in positions that other teams just aren't – I mean, really just aren't capable of doing because they're playing true 11-on-11 football.
Yeah.
And well, I'll show you a couple of clips here, man. Like, even just from last game, it really is – it doesn't, as offensive line and running back, you and I will look at this and go, man, it's really not even fair. So I have some defensive stuff first. And one of the big matchups this game is going to be Linval Joseph, Fletcher Cox, and Ndamukong Suh, and Javon Hargraves against the interior of the San Francisco 49ers line.
Yeah, because they're going to get tested.
Because Trent Williams is great. McGlinchey is better than Evan Neal on this tape, but Hassan Reddick is better than McGlinchey, and it's not even close. And Hassan Reddick's on 16 sacks right now going into last week, I think. So I don't know. I can't remember what he got last week. But going into last week's game, this team had 70 sacks. Okay? Yeah, 70 sacks. They had four guys with double-digit sacks, excuse me. So they're just creating issues. Now, what I try to do with AG is try to find plays where the Giants were utilizing their running backs, pre-snap motions, all this kind of different stuff to see where the 49ers might have some matchup, you know, really advantageous matchup problem, right, or, you know, plays against the Eagles. So you see they take their running back in motion, just like a la CMC. You get that chasing linebacker. So now you're going to get a quick dig route underneath. And these are plays where that can have an effect in a game against the Philadelphia Eagles. There's another play here. They do the whirl route. They do this with Deebo Samuel all the time. So they're going to really stretch the width of the field. So you look at two corners going out to the width of the field. Mm-hmm. You've got a guy manned up, and that leaves really the tight end, George Kittle, one-on-one with the safety, and he's got an in-cut here. And these are plays that can be made, and Brock Purdy can make these plays.
Yeah.
But like this game, because of these guys up front, the 70 sack club, it just got to the point where they just couldn't run what they wanted to run. I mean, the game got out of hand. It was, I think it was like 37-7 or
yeah, 38-7.
Yeah.
To
seven. So, but you like this Hassan Reddick and Andrew Thomas got second team all pro, but Josh Sweat puts him right on the quarterback's lap right here. And both of, I mean, anybody they bring in, they have two waves of defensive ends and two waves of defensive tackles that can all rush the passer. Brandon Graham is a backup on this team now with 11 sacks during the year.
Yeah, and he's the veteran.
Yeah, you're just going like, Brandon Graham's a baller.
Yeah, okay. And he's a baller. He's second? He's in second rotation?
Man, well, it's because Hassan Reddick's first. I mean, right. Hassan Reddick ended the season with 16 sacks. Look at this guy. I mean, Evan Neal, I felt bad for this kid. He got worked over. There's Brandon Graham goes around Evan in a TTE game.
Yeah.
Hassan Reddick gets in the middle. I mean, it's just this whole thing was a car crash after the first quarter. You know?
It didn't just seem like the Giants had a chance to even breathe defensively or offensively.
No, they really didn't, man. And you look at like this is something I'm just so nitpicky, but I hate seeing this. So this, you know, the wide receiver.
Oh yeah, wide receiver blocking somebody shouldn't be. He shouldn't be blocking.
Yeah, his feet are wrong. Josh Sweat's like, look, Josh Sweat's looking at him like, you literally can't switch your feet in time for this to work. Like you literally, this is not going to work out the way you want. Excuse me, one sec, AG. Oh, that's what's happening.
Oh.
I have a malfunction with my battery. There we go. We're back in action. All right. But you see this, his inside foot's up. So Josh Sweat's like, dude, you don't even exist. Right? And this is the kind of stuff like this is a little detail ended up in a tackle for loss, you know? Because these guys are going to attack. Now, I scouted these guys for a couple different players during the year, and there's not a lot of drop off from their first D line to their second D line. And I think that's really going to be the problem with the San Francisco 49ers. Cause at the end of the day, once you get rattled and Brock Purdy, we don't know what he's going to look like right in the NFC championship game. He's played really well, but this is Daniel Jones, first round draft pick. He's going to probably command a big contract, had a great year. There are people wide open on the field right here. Like it's easy in retrospect for us to look at it, right? But correct. When you have pressure and all of a sudden you start getting heated up, man, it's like this is 2.5 seconds. Throw the ball. Yeah, you're open. Yeah. You got guys open, and all of a sudden things just don't look like they should, and you're freaking out.
No, he must have been looking deep, didn't see the underneath routes. It's touchdown to check down. Check down to touchdown. That's it.
But this is what happens when you're getting constantly pressured, when you're down, the game goes a certain way. And these guys, we've talked about it before. The number 70 as far as sacks in a season, it just doesn't seem realistic.
I think it was a record or is behind a record. I think it's 5 sacks short of the 85 Bears.
It's atrocious. So this is when we talk about 11-on-11 football. I mean, Jalen Hurts is a bona fide running back, bona fide running back. He can do it all. So the Giants, if you don't take your rush lane seriously, like if you're the defensive end and you decide to walk inside here, this is a free five every time with his eyes downfield, by the way. You know, and this is something that you're just not going to get when you play other teams. This guy's a 600-pound squatter. You know what I mean? He's a 600-pound squatter with a cannon arm, and he's patient and he's smart. And as soon as he sees that, I guess people don't appreciate because of the offense they run. Like, he might not be Lamar Jackson, but nobody's Lamar Jackson. But this guy can just get it.
He doesn't have to be. It ain't him.
You look at this defense, man, and like theoretically, you see, okay, well, the safety's got to pick up the quarterback here from 15 yards deep, but it's like. It's like you're giving – because it's six in the box all the time. Like you're just giving up yards all the time, man.
Yeah.
I just don't know. So this is what we talk about in this game. I got 3 clips in a row. This is the same clip here. So the difference between the Philadelphia Eagles and everybody else is that right now this is a 6-man box and you're playing 7-on-6. 5 down linemen, running back, and quarterback is a viable weapon, right? This is – oh, everybody can look at this and go, okay, this is Kaepernick back in the day. Okay. So that's 7-on-6, and there's the safety's got to make the play, which is, I mean, I guess if you're a defensive coordinator, that's what you have to do. Now, this is 8-on-6. They haven't brought anybody in, man.
No. Now you got more people, bigger bodies to block downfield, get more yardage.
And this, you, I can't even believe this. This is 9-on-6. This is a 9-on-6 box.
Drill. That's practice drill.
When we play 9-on-7, it's right, like, 9-on-7. This is 9-on-6.
Yeah.
Nobody in the history of football has even made a drill like this because it's so absurd. But this is what the Giants tried to do against the Philadelphia Eagles with the outcome that you would expect if you said, hey, I got 9 guys, you have 6, who's going to win?
Right. No, you it's know? Not. It's not going. You're not winning. You're not winning.
And they go into, and they love running 12 personnel, so they go into they bring guys into the box. They get your 2 wide receivers who are ultra, ultra talented, as you spoke on. And you got a linebacker, number 44, peeping out, looking in the backfield. And so they just run the quick swing. A.J. Brown up front, who's, you know, like you said, 227 pounds, blocking for one of the fastest dudes in the league.
Yeah.
I just don't know what you do. And oh, by the way, Devontae Smith's not afraid to crack block, excuse me. Yeah. Pull the tight end out on the corner. First down, you know, on a third down play. Like, this stuff's like taking candy from a baby, man. So as good as the San Francisco 49ers defense is, and they're number one in the league for a reason, the Philadelphia Eagles have only been held under 20 points once this year by the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously the worst game of the year. They lost to a terrible team. Saturday's debut, right? And so I don't know. From my perspective, man, I look at it and go, well, do you think the San Francisco 49ers are capable of scoring with what you saw the last 2 weeks? Are they capable of scoring 28 points if that's what it takes to beat the Eagles? Because I think the Eagles are going to score in the mid-20s at least, aren't they?
It'll be tough. Yeah, I say to get 14 points is going to be tough. 28, that means defense. I say defense makes some big plays, maybe a pick six here or there. They force Purdy into that. But outside of that, no, it's going to be a grinder. Like San Francisco had last week, what was it, 19-12?
19-12, yeah.
It's going to be another grinder. But it could be grinder or it could be somebody blows the top off of one of the two. Either Philly gets hot, you know, they got the scheme right, they got the players making the plays, or San Francisco does the same thing. So you got those two or three scenarios. You got those three scenarios right there. But potentially odds, that's why it's even in terms of the odds, in terms of the betting sake of it, because they look at the stats, they look at the teams, they look at the players and the way they're playing right now. You know, Purdy, 7-0. Jalen Hurts, same situation. You know, 6-1 or 7-0, something like that. And defenses, offenses are playing hard football. I say the only difference between these defenses, I would say, the way that Philly's won, they could kind of let off the gas a little bit defensively.
They're not nearly as good in the run game.
So
they're not nearly as
49ers,
good.
49ers, that's the only edge. 49ers, they will smack you, hit you hard, and pretty much bludgeon you out of running the ball. And then now we're going to get you your quarterback.
I would rather play as an offensive lineman. I would rather play the Eagles defense. And they're very, very good.
Yeah.
But the San Francisco 49ers play a different style of football. Yes.
Brutality.
Greenlaw, Bosa, Eric Armstead, like those guys they're mean. Latonga, they're just like mean people on the field, right?
Yeah, those guys are coming down, hitting hard, being physical.
Funga, that guy can bring it. Like it's baby Polamalu, man.
Yeah. I like it. You know, but that is another reflection of look at their DC. He was a rookie, defensive rookie of the year linebacker, first round draft pick to the Houston Texans in 2006 or 2005. Mm-hmm. So, it's another photocopy, same like Saleh out in New York.
There's a guy. So that guy's obviously, he's up for the Texans job too.
Yep, he is.
But if I'm Carolina, like if you're Carolina, we'll go back to it. But like, really?
Yeah, it's a good conversation to have.
Man.
Yeah.
All right, so I queued up some stuff from the Bengals because the Chiefs, I think the big thing with the Chiefs and the Bengals, and this is the Pick'em game, it's in Kansas City.
Yeah.
It would put Joe Burrow and the Bengals 4-0 against Patrick Mahomes. It would basically put Joe Burrow as the definitive top dog in the NFL.
100%.
Regardless of whether they win the Super Bowl or not, if he beats Patrick Mahomes 4 out of 4 times, he is definitively the top dog in the National Football League. For me, he's the best quarterback in the National Football League right now. I'm not going to say he's the best player because now we can start getting into semantics with Patrick Mahomes, but he is the best pre-snap quarterback, post-snap identification of what's going on, like pocket quarterback in the National Football League. He's got a dude that looks like, you know, I was talking to a Carolina guy last night, and Ja'Marr Chase is, you know what he really is? He's Steve Smith 2.0. He's got the exact same build. He's just bigger. But he's got these ridiculously thick legs. He can run through anything. He can jump out of the gym. He body positions as good as anybody else. He's explosive. He's got great hands. Like, that's, I mean, you want to look at a compare. I don't know if he's as fiery as Steve.
Yeah, but I don't think he is. He looks a little bit more timid than
But this dude is all, he's ridiculous talent. And there, and like, would you look at the Bills last week? And the Bills are supposed to win the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
The Bills
we were talking that. Everybody was talking that. Bills Super Bowl, easy. Bills Super Bowl, done. That's in the bag. Things change. That's why we play the games.
The Bills looked scared. And I feel like for me, when I look at this game, I think both offenses are great. And I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to play fine. And I like the way that Patrick Mahomes like can find Kelce from like on the line of scrimmage, just give him the ball, let him fall forward for 7, or like get him at the 2 yard, you know, get 2 yards off the ball. Like the little ways they get him open are just like most people wouldn't even put that in their playbook. And they're like, no, dude, that's like our offense right now.
Yeah.
You know, and they can just keep doing it. I don't think either defense is coming in, and like Chris Jones is an all pro, and they've got, I mean, Hendrickson and Hubbard and DJ Reader, like they're all great. I don't think either defense is necessarily stopping these teams, but if I had to choose a defense to stop one team more than the other, I am taking Kansas. I'm taking the Bengals defense, that defensive line led by Hubbard, led by Hendrickson, led by DJ Reader, Logan Wilson, Von Bell's been a stud. They tackle extremely well. I take them over the Chiefs trying to stop Joe Burrow with this caveat. In the last game, and we'll show a couple of these tape clips, AG, the Buffalo Bills early in the game on third downs had opportunities to make plays and they didn't make them. I think if Patrick Mahomes can make those plays, or if Pacheco or one of these guys can start running through the tackles that are getting tackled on, this could actually be a pretty high scoring game. You remember last year it was the Chiefs big, then it was a complete cluster, and then they came back and it looked like Mahomes kind of blew the game at the end of the game.
Yeah, he was trying to make a play. The defense, the coverage, figured him out, forced him into fell into I think to his right and throwing it into traffic, and traffic was a pick six or a pick to end the game pretty much for the Bengals.
So I think these third down stuff's going to be super important. So I just put a handful of these on here. You know, they did convert on a couple, but you look at, you know, throughout the game, you have opportunities. Stephon Diggs, first one here on kind of a hitch and go, and you look like dude's open, right? It's not like Josh Allen can make this throw. And the Bills are different than the Bills without Daboll this year kind of look like at some point during the game, or maybe even every series, whether it was like second and long, third down, whatever, like we're going to let Josh Allen do Josh Allen things and make up for problems. Right. And if it doesn't work out that way, that's what I like about Andy Reid. Yeah. That's what you like about San Francisco and Philadelphia. This is actually like the Bengals are probably the least user-friendly offense left in the playoffs. Right. Like that offense is just predicated on Joe Burrow being able to process information better than anybody else on the planet, and he happens to do it. But this stuff is like you talk about the Chiefs, when you talk about the Niners and the Eagles, like they're all really user-friendly. Like you and I could walk in on day one and just play in any of those offenses. It's not hard to figure out, right?
Yeah. No, it's not. Not at all.
So you see there, like, there's an opportunity miss, and, you know, Diggs is like, come on, man, throw me the ball. Well, like, why are you throwing the ball poorly? Well, Deion Dawkins, who's been a great player, Saffold gets beat. Yeah, Roger Saffold gets beat, and, you know, feet are not in the right position, and this is, you know, tail all the time, man. Your technique's bad. You're gonna have ball sail on you. You got another situation here. Another third down. And he's got, like, this is, if you're Josh Allen, this is, if you're Joe Burrow and that's Ja'Marr Chase, 20 out of 20 times that ball's going in the air.
Yeah, that ball could be gone.
The difference is Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are connecting, right? Yeah, and and is Patrick Mahomes, Valdez Scantling, one of these guys, are they connecting? I don't know. That's the question of the day, right? But there's just a lot of this stuff where, and credit to Lou Anarumo, man. I was down with him in Miami. He was the DB's coach. And that was the group that I had to like work with for tackling, because their tackling was so poor. They're the number one tackling team in the league right now.
Nice.
You know, and it just makes it's made all the difference in the world for this football team.
Fundamentals.
Now, this is the question, right? Can they get home? And if they get home, can Patrick Mahomes do this? Can he run? If they need, right. If it's 3rd and 3 and they call his number, can he get out of traffic? Like, I don't know. That was a weapon that Josh Allen could use, but I don't know about these guys. I don't know about this week.
And they did well against a healthy guy, you know, a healthy Pro Bowl quarterback. So you got another one coming in, and he's beat up, so it might be a little bit easier for them to get that pressure. And even if they probably want to force him to the run and be like, because I would, hey, let's test that foot. That's it. Let's test that ankle, see how he gets to the edge and try to do Pat Mahomes things. Let's see if he will do that. Let's push him into there and just to see how he's going to play.
He's a legit pocket quarterback. Like, Patrick Mahomes does the magic stuff is what makes him the best, quote unquote, the best player in the league.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not like if you said, all right, dude, you can't play anywhere but inside the pocket this week. It's not like he still wouldn't be a top three or four quarterback in the league. Like, you know what I mean? Or maybe top two. He's still that guy. It's just that's the part of his game, I think, that we all kind of jaw drop a little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, speaking on Joe Burrow, mm-hmm. I know we're going to talk about him in a minute, but mm-hmm. He's coming in at a time where we know Tom Brady's stepping out of the game. So he'll be that, because you know how the NFL, how leagues sometimes want to stay alive. They have certain players that put fans in the stands. Mm-hmm. And Joe Burrow is going to be that guy. Like Michael Jordan was that guy for the NBA. Kobe Bryant was that guy for the NBA. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson back in the 80s were that mm-hmm. player. Now you got another guy that's going to replace Tom Brady if Tom steps away and goes to the booth. Mm-hmm. Then you got that young up-and-coming quarterback that really has the type of gameplay that then can change the franchise, or that already has changed the franchise.
Yeah, no doubt. And what's interesting about that is it seems like the narrative that they were trying to push, right, as of last week, literally, was Chiefs Bills because of last year's game. Yeah. They really were trying to push Patrick all versus year. Josh. But Joe Burrow came in and said, well, wait a second, I'm better. He thinks he's better than everybody, right? He said the window's open as long as I'm here. Last week he said, I hope they give those guys a refund because all those people paid for the tickets.
Hey, when I heard that, I was like, ooh, I said, he fired up. I said, that would get me – I mean, that would – yeah, I'll be ready to come. We about to rain on y'all parade, bro.
That's like when Javon Hargraves gets a sack, he does this, and then he kicks down the door.
Yeah,
that was Joe Burrow just kicking out the door. And you guys forgot, like, I know we're from Cincinnati. And nobody likes our helmets and blah 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 blah. Like, I'm the guy. He actually started yelling on the field, like, I'm him. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? He's like, he didn't even know he was doing it, but they got him on a mic, you know. But he's that dude, man. Like, he's like, you know, he is. He's everyone thinks he's Joe Cool, dude. He's Ric Flair.
Yeah,
he's Ric Flair. He's the mink wearing, jumbo jet flying, hide, you know what I mean? Like, he is that dude.
I remember those days. He is that dude.
Yep. Got a couple more here with the Bills, man. You see they go in motion. And, like, this is the difference between a team that just believes in themselves, sticking to their fundamentals, not doing too much. This is a very simple play. My running back has a head start on your safety. You just dropped down in the box. I should be able to make this play. I have two blockers outside. And they're just a sure tackling team. And that guy goes down like he's like, dude, like a hot knife through butter, man. That's like way too easy to cut that dude down, right?
I'm making them work for that tackle.
No doubt. But all this stuff, like Hendrickson beats Dawkins. This ended up being an incomplete pass. But this dude, you don't think he's going to get wins. He gets wins.
Right.
I mean, Deion Dawkins is a great player. And to just get beat like that, I mean – this game, we talked about it on the review show. Like, it looked like the Bills were the ones that were wearing the bad cleats and, you know, it not comfortable at home. But it's just little plays like this, man. Like, Lou Anarumo's doing a good job. Are you going to bring 5? Are you going to bring 6? Are you going to bring them off the weak side? Are you going to bring them off the strong side? You know, a lot of guys want to rotate safeties down. The Bengals will go ahead and line up 8 in the box, And then they'll just run their fire zone right off of that. And so the difference being, like, sometimes, like Josh Allen, for example, he doesn't even acknowledge that they're going to run this blitz. The linebacker stops right in front and doesn't carry this guy because they got a safety behind him. So he's actually sitting on the slant. And it's like, this is one of those things where when you look at Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes, like, I don't know that Patrick Mahomes has this problem, but it sure worked in this game.
Yeah. It's just reading and figuring out who they're trying to carry. Like you said, trying to carry to, or who they're trying to bracket in terms of the zone coverage right there, and being smart with your throws and paying it to try to, you know, when you know your target, you know where your target is, where you want to go with the ball, being mindful of that defender and how he's playing the guy or the area you want to throw the ball to.
You see him right here. Von Bell's already coming. And he just gets – he panics because 57 didn't carry. And, as again, like, Patrick, you would have thought Josh Allen was going to make these plays, but he didn't. So, yeah. you wonder if Patrick Mahomes. Now, this is the power when we talk about just game changers, man.
This is that guy. So,
Ja'Marr Chase is down here. They bring T. Higgins over, and they just send Ja'Marr – he just go. Okay, hey, you just run fast, okay? Look at this. T. Higgins is a legit – number one wide receiver on other football teams.
Yeah.
All these dudes are either looking at Joe, the corners just, they're running two and they just completely forgot. They don't even care that he's there. They're like, we'll just give you the 10-yard pickup here. And Joe, maybe better than anybody else in the National Football League, he makes easy plays look easy. You never see him struggle on an easy play. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like this play right here, I put this in because they're running an old Texas route that you've run a million times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Milano's got coverage right here, and he's like, dude, we're going to pick up 5 yards, 6 yards. Like, you know what that play – that looked like a nothing play. You know what that play is? Second and four. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That sounds stupid, but when you watch this game, if a team's going to play Joe Burrow deep and just be like, Ja'Marr Chase is not beating us for deep routes. See, they're not going to beat us. He's like, all right, dude, I can literally – I'm one of those guys that I will go – first and 10, second and 4, third and 1, I can do it all day. Can you? You know, and he's just, I don't know who you have in this game. I know it's a pick'em game. Like, I just can't, I keep trying to compare him to somebody other than Joe Montana just because I don't know Joe Montana's stats. I just remember when I was a kid going, like, Joe Montana's the best player in football. And I watch Joe Burrow, and I'm like, Joe Burrow's the best player in football right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I just don't know how else to say it, man. Like, he makes it look so easy from a processing speed, like getting the guys. He can sit in 2x2. They don't even have to run motion. They do, but they don't really even have to. They can sit 2x2 all day and just be like, I don't think you can disguise what I'm about to accomplish. And I can call like 27 different plays out of this formation. Good luck trying to figure out which one I'm going to run.
Right. Exactly. No, he's done a good job of that. Developing coaches, helping him out, and just for coming with the talent that he already had and just expunging on that, growing it up. You know, from his time at the college level to now, and in his third year. He tore his ACL first year, and then last year Super Bowl, third year. So.
That's right.
Yep.
What do you got? Who do you got winning this game? I mean, look, Patrick Mahomes, I just, I'm telling you, me, but who do you? They're in Kansas City. Who's going to the Super Bowl, AG?
Yeah. So I've been saying this for the last few weeks about Cincinnati is that I know the offense is going to do what the offense does because Joe Burrow's leading them. But I like their defense. I really like their defense. And so I'm going to stick on that. I'm going to go Bengals here because of that defense. And they're playing way better than they were this time last year. You know, they took advantage of people doubting them last year defensively. And that's why they're able to step up and find the plays and then come up with the plays knowing what Pat Mahomes likes to do. He likes to create time for it with his legs. He will not break the line of scrimmage. He will sit back and throw and move around left or right, break the pocket. But then the DBs were mindful to get the interceptions that they were because they were in the right area at the right time, mm-hmm. You know, went and got the ball and played aggressive defensively and played smart. So I could see them playing that now, and they're playing way better. They're actually shutting teams down, you know, if they can and if they want to, basically. So I say being Bengals.
Remember last year they had Sam Hubbard at times. Sam Hubbard runs spy on Patrick Mahomes. And like,
right. That's what I mean by smart.
Yeah. And what you think is like, it'll be interesting to see if they, it'll be interesting to see how they come out with a game plan based on the fact that he had a high ankle sprain, and it looks like he's recovering very well. But you know what I mean? Like, there's, you and I have both had that injury. Like, that's, that injury sucks, man. Like, it is hard to operate at a high level physically with a high ankle sprain. So I don't know. This could be, this is as interesting a weekend as there's been, because for me, it feels like, it feels like Joe Burrow could take over the mantle as the best player in football. Mm-hmm. And it also feels like Philly could, or San Francisco could cement themselves as like the start of a legacy. Because I think if Philly wins in resounding fashion, I think the entire NFC is going to go, oh shit. Like they're really, because their team's not going anywhere, right? They're going to have to reload a defensive tackle with a couple of those guys because they're older, Linval Joseph and Sue. Yep. The backup guys, the rest of the team, Fletcher Cox, they're not going anywhere. They're all young, and they're all good. Kelsey can play. Like, Kelsey might be, he might play till he's 45, dude, the way that guy looks,
the way he's built and the way he keeps his body in shape. Yep.
And then shoot, San Francisco, if Brock Purdy, if he's the guy, I mean, they got, there's so many talk. We can have a separate discussion about what did you do with Trey Lance? Like, is he go to Carolina now with Frank Reich? Yep. There's an option. I got one more thing I want to ask you before we go.
Yeah.
Cause we brought up D'Amico Ryans. Do you think that they should have a moratorium on head coach hires until after the Super Bowl? Because it feels like, don't you think that D'Amico Ryans, now Robert Saleh got the Jets job, so it's not, we're proving that this isn't necessarily true. But for some of these teams, I think D'Amico turned down some teams because he just knew they weren't going to be a good fit. But let's make this more a generalized statement. Do you think they should just even the playing field and just make everybody wait until the Super Bowl's over so every team has a chance to get the top quality guys?
I like that because that's fair. It gives us everybody the same amount of time. They could do all the research they want. Mm-hmm. They could do all the digging they want. But until actually to approach that coach face-to-face, especially if that coach is in the playoff run, where they're at now, where these teams are at now, and then if the next two teams – you know, come out of this and go to the Super Bowl, and that coach is one of those coordinators, I say that makes it fair, playing field for everybody. I always like that aspect of it, as long as it's fair for everybody at the same time. But you got to do your homework, just like everybody else. Wait till after the Super Bowl. I like that. But
it's not a bad idea. It's just there is a lot to get. There's a ton to get done, right? As far, I mean, the Senior Bowls, I think guys are showing up this week. Or maybe they already showed up.
Yeah, get all your work done. And
let's say you're hiring a general manager or a head coach, it's like, or you need a quarterback, or like you got the second pick in the draft and the Senior Bowl is starting, like they'd have to move back, because like it's not like D'Amico Ryans hasn't interviewed, you know, like they can interview on Zoom and everything. So, but it just feels, that Frank Wright thing, like it threw me off. I was talking about it last night. I really didn't think they'd hire him.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well,
all right.
AG, we'll see, man. We'll see what happens. We'll catch you guys back on Monday. Amon, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, find me on Instagram, AmonGreen30 right there. Boom. And then on TikTok, Amon Green's Gamers Lounge, talking about the video game world. And he talked about, Mike, this week, League of Legends Riot Company, was their source code was stolen, was hacked, and held for ransom for like $10 million. And
did they get it? Did they get
it? No, they said we ain't paying that. Because they make a lot of money. So they're like, no, y'all got, we'll figure it out. So.
Because they got enough guys.
What's that?
So you know what we didn't talk about is, are you still in Nebraska?
Yeah, this is my office right here.
Okay. So, AG, with your new position, are you in a classroom environment? And
I will be, yeah.
Yep. And when does that start?
That starts March 20th after spring break. So I'm preparing for that now.
Dude, we're going to have to go through, because we're going to have time in the offseason. We're going to have to go through your curriculum.
Oh, yeah.
We should sit down and like, I'll get a controller.
For sure. We got to do it.
Play something. I got to teach me how to play. So my kids, you know, I'm going to get, you know, when I go to college or whatever, like I'm the only kid who doesn't know how to play video games, Dad. I go, well, that's not my fault. Go outside now. And I go, get your ass outside and go throw a rock or something.
Go throw a rock or something, bro.
All right. We're out of here. I'm Mike Wall 68 on Twitter, Prostitute Perform on Instagram. Check this show out.
Yep.
And like, subscribe, rate, review us. You know, we didn't hit our Bet Online AG, but we'll get it next time.
What the hell? We'll get it next time.
All right, brother.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.